You know, the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. We all got that one down, don't we? We always got that one. But what part comes after that? The Lord delivereth them out of them all. Say, out of them all. It's all we're doing is going through affliction and we're not receiving deliverance, then we're only getting half the equation. All you're doing is getting beat up all the time, because there are many afflictions to the righteous. The enemy, the Bible says, will come in. Well, I've heard it both ways. Like a flood, the Lord will lift a standard. Or if the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord's going to lift that standard. We got to get the second half of the verse. Amen. We've got to get the Lord delivereth them out of them all. I'll tell you, since we hit breakthrough at the beginning of this year, we had some things unloaded, just like she was saying, coming up into your destiny, coming up into your living room. We had some assignments unloaded, and it just came in just like a barrage. I'm like, Lord, what is going on? And I began preaching that message about the hedge last week. And something I learned this week, in a very big way, I've been learning this for a very long time, but sometimes the kingdom of God is kind of like golf. It's a game of inches. You make one small inch adjustment and it makes a huge turnaround in your life. Sometimes you're only one inch away from the turnaround. It's an inch in your thinking. It's an inch in your understanding of the kingdom. It's an inch in your ability to surrender that old trade, your sufficiency for God's. And when that happens, you'll get a release of the Lord delivering you out of them all. I said, Lord, I can handle the affliction as long as you come and deliver me from it. Amen. I can handle if the enemy comes in, because you never promised me the enemy wasn't coming. In fact, you said the thief will come. You said the thief cometh, but he has no place in me. He said he comes immediately to steal the word. And so if I can understand the other part of that verse, you know, victory feels real good. Anna and I were just laying up in our living room the other day, and I was like, it sure feels good to come have God vindicate us in four areas and all the stuff he was throwing. You know, I never thought that children on the other side of the fence could affect you so much, but there's a spirit behind that stuff, and they're screaming all day long, and that stuff coming right up in your living room, and it's an invasion in my prayer closet. I mean, when they'd start jumping, I'd just walk out of the prayer closet. It wouldn't do no good. They're right there 3 feet from me, you know. And so we needed God's intervention here. You take matters in your own hand, and believe me, I wanted to. Because this guy wasn't being very reasonable at all. But I learned something this week. I learned something big time. How to get God on my side. And I saw him do it in a matter of 2 days on four areas. Boom, boom, boom. You know, the insurance just flat out told us they weren't going to pay. And we just resigned to the fact we were going to go the insurance for the ACs. And God worked it out. Amen. We've been having people pray and God's answering the prayer, but we were on our way to having to fix a $17,000 to $24,000 problem here, and God fixed it right in the middle of this time frame as one of those fix. Now, you can fix it or God can fix it. Amen? And I am telling you, there is a fine line to get God on your side. You're going to have to cross that line and understand that fine line. Sometimes it's an inch away. You don't know how far, but sometimes you step over boundaries one inch and you'll block the sufficiency of God. Amen. So that's what I'm going to talk to you about today, is how to get God on your side. I call this message the Great Exchange. I want you to get the other half of the verse. How many of you have suffered a little bit of affliction? Raise your hand. Look at the hands in here. How many of you are going through something right now? Raise your hand. Look at the hands in here. How many you want to be in another place? Raise your hand. How many do you need to get God to do something for you right away? Yesterday, raise your hand. How many you're in desperate need right now that you need God to intervene in some situations? Raise your hand. Look at the hands. We need the other half of that verse. The Lord delivereth them out of them all. And that hit me like a rock right after he had done this. I said, Lord, this is awesome to see you intervene like this. You don't see God intervene on all these areas at one time unless something's going right. I said, I need to know how you did that. He showed me this week something. He made a major adjustment. He'd been trying to make this adjustment. I'm going to clarify this for a long time. I've been trying to get it and get it and get it and get it. And I thought I had it and I didn't have it. But now I got it. And I'm going to try to get this to you. If you get this today, you're going to find God's intervention almost immediately in your life. You'll see him intervene in areas you've been needing him to intervene. What we normally do is go out there and say, God bless me or God help me where I am. We go out there and we get in trouble. Then we call upon God's help. We call upon his grace. But many times we're asking him to help us in our condition instead of exchanging our condition for his sufficiency. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Boy, if you get this today, I have learned something. I'm practicing every day now. Every morning I'm practicing because it's become a reality, not just a revelation. As long as it was a revelation for him, it still wasn't the reality. But now it's revelation, it's moved to reality. Paul got this revelation that I'm going to give to you today. I'm like, Lord, why did it take so long? You shouldn't ask that question. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. Say, my grace is sufficient. It is sufficient, but you're going to have to get a hold of his grace in order to see a transformation and a change. And I'm going to say this, an immediate change. The Bible says that he perfects those things that concern you in Psalms 138. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. I found out that God is concerned about your concerns. The devil's not really blocking God. We are. Amen. And when we make the adjustment, the devil's no match for the Holy Spirit and the Christ in us. Just like Tina was saying, we got to turn loose the Christ in us. See, if you go to battle without him, you're going to get beat. You go out there without him, you're not going to win. But you go out there with him, you will win. Amen. Thanks be unto God who what always causes me to triumph. So he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Look at this. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Now, we looked at that in a lot of different ways. But the weakness he's speaking of is what you would call human feebleness. Your inability to produce the result of the kingdom of God. That type of weakness, when it's recognized by you, will cause his strength to be perfected in you. It says there, most gladly therefore I'll rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure. I don't know very many people take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses. I don't know. I'm not there yet. I'll just tell you right now, I'm not taking pleasure in that stuff. Paul was there. I haven't made it there yet. Amen. That's like counting it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, testings, and trials. It's not a happy place to be. But he found something out when he's in the midst of that. Especially Paul. Paul was a type A personality. He was a fix-it man. He was a do-it man. A just-do-it Nike would have made billions on Paul. Paul was that kind of man. He would just get the job done. He was full of sufficiency. He talked about it in Philippians chapter 3. He said, man, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, I was blameless. Pharisee, he excelled in everything he did. But the problem was that all of that energy and effort and zeal that he used to serve God under the law, all of that had to be tempered and broken when he came to Christ, because Christ said, Paul, what you did in the old won't work in the new. The way you function in the old won't work in the new. I got to unravel that part of you to get you to understand that my strength will be perfected in your human feebleness. And I got to actually show you that you can't do it without me. I'm going to repeat that again. I got to show you can't do it without me. Now, I must have learned this lesson at least 100 times, but I still didn't get it. And this is the inches I'm talking about. I've learned, I've preached it. I was preaching it 5 or 6 years ago. I myself can do nothing. We must come to that revelation because so many of us are still trying to do God. We're still trying to get the job done, but we haven't made the adjustment or the exchange of our weaknesses for His strength. Because as long as you're still trying to do it, fix it, handle it, control it, I got it. I'm in control. Let me handle this one. I'm in control. As long as that veil's on you, it's going to block one of the most incredible things, gifts God's given to us. As born again, sons and daughters of God, free, unmerited grace. Grace, you can write this down, will never compete with you. Grace will never compete with you. The problem is we don't always know that we're in the way. Because we don't know we're in the way, we struggle. We all know that we need God's intervention. But how to get that intervention is sometimes a game of inches. Sometimes you're right there, but you didn't get over. And with God, His strength's going to be made perfect in your weakness. You've got to get to a place that you know you can't do it. The problem is there's many things in life we can do. There's many things we've already been pre-programmed to do. Get up in the morning and do life. How many of us actually wake up in the morning and realize our great insufficiency to handle even life itself? Do you know how many of us just raised our hands? Of how many issues we're dealing with right now that were unresolved issues that we don't have God's intervention in. And yet we take the same routine every day. We get up and just go at it. We get up and go at it. And we get molded into a routine. But we're not going out there with God's grace. We haven't made the exchange of God's grace. And what I learned this week was how to make that exchange. And when I did, bam, 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 bam. Well, saw that happen like that. And it was a direct result of obtaining God's grace. Because as soon as you step over that inch line, all the prayers that are prayed, everything that's been laid up for the kingdom, God can immediately go like that. But what happens is so many times we haven't made that exchange, so we're operating too much in us. Let me show you this in the Lord's ministry, because I'm going to show you how to get there. Amen? Because most time we don't know the problem is. Well, we know, well, I mean, I'll ask you, how many need God's help right now? Raise your hand. See, everybody knows that I need His help. But how many really know how to get it? Get Him on your side to get a result from Him. You're going to have to get into a position with Him. There are things in you that are blocking Him, but you don't know what's blocking Him. Amen? All right, go to John chapter 5. Everything's been made available to us. The problem is obtaining that grace. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain help and grace in your time of need. I don't know about you, but so many times I've come there, I didn't get what I was looking for. Sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't, but it wasn't consistent. Now I know what's blocking. My own sufficiency to handle life is blocking His grace for flowing through me to handle it for me. He wants to handle your life for you. He wants to be in control. The big issue really, and the only reason I can probably see this right now, because He unveiled me of some major control. In January, we've talked about that. And because of that, I can see certain things. But the issue really is control. Who's control? You or God? Well, there's certain areas you give Him. Certain areas, they're still yours. certain areas, well, you know, God helps those who help themselves. You're not going to find that in the Bible anywhere. That sounds good, but you're not going to find that. God helps those that are fully surrendered. He says, humble yourself under, say under, the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you. Under his mighty right hand. You got to get yourself under him. That means whatever's in you that's not under, you got to get it under. That's the exchange. You have to surrender something to come under, because both of you are not going to be in control, and he's not going to compete with you, even when you don't think it's control. Most of us, I'm not controlling. You probably control more than you think you do. I'm in control of my life. I wake up, I'll get it done. You might not be a controller of other people, but you might be a controller of your life. I can make this happen. The sooner you realize you can't, you're on your way. There's something in us that doesn't like that part. There's something in us that doesn't like to ask for help. There's something in us that doesn't like that part. True humility is a process of surrender. It's not just always walking around, hi, my name is Pastor LaRue, how are you? That's not just humility. True humility is the recognition, not just the revelation, that I can't do this. I can't do kingdom. I really can't do life the way I really want it done. I can't handle the problems of life on my own. But the problem is I can. But the problem is with that is I don't ever handle it right. More times than not, when I try to handle it, I don't handle it very well. I really don't. I go out and make a big mess of it. But we still try to handle it, don't we? And what I learned is this. If I can surrender that part of me, the one that wants to fix it, the one that wants to do it, the one that thinks he's still in control, the one that when I'm presented with a problem, I'm analytically going through all these processes of how I'm going to handle it, how I'm going to handle it, because that's ingrained in me. I am going to fix this. And the issue in the reality is that if I can get that part of me under the mighty hand of God, if I can say, no, wait a minute, I can't fix this. I probably won't even do that good a job at it. I know he can do a whole lot better than I can moving through me to get it done. I got to get this under you. I got to obtain your grace. I need to exchange my sufficiency for your grace. But I need the revelation of that. Not just in one area that's concerning me, because oftentimes we get going down an area and we say, God, help me. I get in trouble. Help me in my endeavor here. See, we're wanting the help after we've already gone out in our own strength. You follow me? You're out there in your own strength. You're out there in your own sufficiency. You're out there in your own wisdom. And you're saying, God, help me. Give me grace. God said it doesn't work that way. Back up. Exchange all that first. Don't even go out there in your own. God doesn't come out there. He's asking you to come in there and get his sufficiency and then let him go out there. You shouldn't be out there doing it in the first place. But that's a hard thing to understand because it's our nature to get out there. That's what we do. We get in things that we're not supposed to be involved in. Or we're in things we are supposed to be involved in, but there's too much of us involved with the process. How do we get that unraveled? You got to get a revelation first. Just like Jesus, let me show you. Oh, God, I know so many of you have heard this message, but please help me get them over the inch line. You're 1 inch away. That 1 inch will keep blocking his grace. It's kind of like trying to explain how the gift of healing works. It just comes and it flows. How to yield to the Spirit of God. How do you explain that? Well, you yield. It's the same thing. You got to get over that 1 inch line. There are things that you can't see, even when you think you can see. That's what Paul got the revelation. Listen, when I'm reduced to what the world would consider weakness, he found that there was a dependency thing. He found that he could yield into God and obtain something. But when he was in full-blown strength himself, full-blown zeal, this was Peter's problem. He had so much zeal. See, when he's too much into himself, he wasn't getting that same measure of grace flowing. Because he was blocking. He realized that through that process of trial and affliction, it was bringing him a place where he surrendered. He let go. You know how hard that is to let go of your life? Not very many people want to do that. I let go. Oh, that's easy to sit in the morning and say, Father, I let go. I surrender. Amen. But to actually move into that position is a whole nother story. And that is the inch line of the great exchange. Your ability to let go of the control of your life and recognize that you probably want to be in control more than you think you do. Probably don't know that you're in control more than you think you do. Because there's this place in the spirit that you get to. And when you do, you're under the shadow of the Almighty. You're under the mighty hand. It's no more I'm not doing it anymore. It's Christ that's doing it in me. I'm crucified with him. I've come to weakness. But it's released a strength in me. It's released a grace in me. And it's released a flow in me. And it's caused God to deliver me out of all my situations. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. The Lord will do. If we don't get the second half of that verse, we are miserable people. Because if all we're doing is suffering affliction, and we're not getting the hand of the Lord to deliver us out of them all, then we're not experiencing God. We're just taking the punishment. Amen. How many of you want to experience the Lord will deliver him out of them all? Have you heard that verse? That verse just shot out at me. The Lord will deliver them out of them all. He means all. That means whatever the devil throws at me, God will deliver me. That means I have confidence. If you throw it at me, devil, one way or another, God's going to deliver me. I'm not going to deliver me. He's going to deliver me. I am not capable of delivering myself. I had to come to that revelation. That wasn't easy for me. I was an A-type personality too. I had divine intensity to get it done. That too much in me blocking the flow of grace. John 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. Now, don't misunderstand my message. It's not that you're not going to go out and put your hands to it. It's just that you're going to have an empowerment with you that's going to cause you to do it on an almost effortless way. It's stuff that you're getting stuck with. If you're stuck, all the Spirit of the Lord just told me, says, tell them. If they're stuck, it's only because they've not obtained my grace to fix the problem. We're trying to fix something that only he can fix. And to get him to fix it, there's going to have to be an exchange. The more you try to fix it, the worse it'll get. Just leaving it alone won't fix it either. Walking away from it won't fix it either. You're just settling it. A lot of times, well, he can do it when he gets ready to do it. I'll just be waiting over here. That's not going to fix it either. That's not how it works. It's the acknowledgement. I got a problem here. I can't fix it. I need your help. I've got to get somewhere to get that grace on me to get this thing done. Where I'm at now, that grace is not on me. I'm on me. I'm the one that's trying to do this. I've got to get somewhere in the spirit first. And I got to recognize that. It's got to go past revelation. I got to recognize I can't do it. That's phase one. Then I got to move into position like Jesus. I can do nothing. Jesus repeated himself in that same chapter. repeated it again. Look at verse 30. I can my own self do nothing. That's the Son of God talking. Imagine the Lord saying that. He recognized he had to carry it just like you did. He could not carry the gospel as the Son of God. He had to carry it in dependency of the Father. He had to carry it like God's asking you to carry it, in dependency of God. He had to do the same thing. That's why he said, I can only do what I see my Father doing. He was in total surrender, total dependency, total alignment. That little game of inches that I'm trying to get over right now, that many of us say, well, I'm there. I'm already there. I already know that. See, that's where I was too. I'm there. I'm already know that. It's an inch. I'm telling you, it's an inch. It's the waking up and the realization. What's the first thing that comes to you when you wake up? Well, I got to go to work. The first thing when you awaken, I can't do this day without you. See, it's right there. It's got to be in your mindset. It's got to be in you, because the problem is you still think you can, and you can, but you're not getting the results you want because you're going out there and he's not. You've got to come to that place. And that's where Paul came to. He realized I can do certain things, but the real stuff, when God's on my side, I can't get that when it's me out there. I got to get surrendered. I got to make the great exchange. So when I wake up, the faster I can get out there and do this, the quicker. I don't have to do it all day, but it's the realization of it now. It's when I wake up tomorrow, what's the first thing on your mind? Well, I got to go to work. Well, then you're going to get the same results you've been getting forever. Because the first thing in your mind is, I got to go get this done. Instead of, what happens if I wake up and I truly realize I cross the inch line, I and myself are really not going to get the results of this day. I can do nothing. Father, I surrender. Truly, I do. I know what results I'm going to get if I go out there. I humble myself under your mighty hand in the realization that if I go out there with your grace, things are going to happen this day. You're going to do things that I can't do because I'm stuck. And I stay there until I'm surrendered. That's phase one. I'm surrendering because I've come to realization. Yeah, I can still get up and do church. You know, I'm doing this now. I'm coming to the realization. Say, Lord, I don't know how to build a church. I really don't. Not like you do. It's so different because the whole world mentality is you can do it. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. But the realization of the kingdom is I can't do it. And I'm okay with that. I can't. But you can. So if I surrender, that's phase one. He said, take them to the scripture. Go to Luke 9. Boy, if I can get you over the inch line, you're going to see your problems get fixed this week. Not next month. You know what we've learned to do? Just live with our stuff. And just say, well, in the name of suffering, I'm called to bear the reproach and the infirmity of the gospel, you know. You are, as a child of God, going to suffer affliction. But as a child of God, the promise is, I will deliver you out of it all. That's a big promise. How would you like this week, God, to perfect three of the greatest things that are concerning you? I want you to take a moment and think of three things right now that are concerning you. Close your eyes a minute. Everyone close your eyes. I want you to think of three things that are concerning you right now. Top three. Stuff that hadn't really moved in a while. All right. Now I want you to think of how have you been trying to fix those three things that are concerning you. Have you left it alone? Have you surrendered and said, well, it's in God's hands. He'll do it when he gets ready to do it. Are you out actively trying to change it and you're not getting anywhere? Some of you may have already gotten in the flesh with it. That's generally what we do. We try to take it matters in our own hands and get in the flesh with it. How are you trying to fix that thing that's concerning you? Now, just to surrender it in God's hands and let go of it still won't fix the problem, but is phase one of fixing the problem. That alone won't fix it. How many of you have one of those problems and you've let go of it and you realize you can't fix it, but God's going to have to fix it? Raise your hand. But it hadn't fixed yet. You only got halfway there. At least you've surrendered it. How many of you have a situation you've actually tried to fix it and got in the flesh with it? Raise your hand. I appreciate your honesty. I've done it many times. That's definitely the wrong way. So that just prolongs the problem. The quicker you can get to the place where I can't do that, that's a good thing. The surrender is the hardest part. But the surrender alone, without the obtaining of his sufficiency, won't fix the problem. You've just got it in a surrendered place, but you haven't obtained his sufficiency. What we do is we let go, we surrender it, and we walk away, but that won't fix it. That's not the way God fixes it. He places you in position to surrender. Then you've got to obtain his grace. Grace is the greatest thing God's ever given us. It's unmerited favor. It cannot be worked for. And by design, if you try to work for it, you'll stop its flow. If you're in the way, it won't flow. It's either you or grace. It's either your performance or grace. It can't be the both. So by design, grace will only flow when you surrender, but you also have to stay and obtain the grace. Amen? I can't just let go of the problem, although that is the first phase. One more time. If you have a situation and you have surrendered it, raise your hand. But you haven't seen it fixed yet. See that? Because you got half of the problem. You got it surrendered. You're not operating in the flesh with it, but you still hadn't got the fix. Amen? That's what we're going to get. This one-inch line that I was somehow by grace able to cross over and understand this week caused four things to get fixed in 2 days. Bam, 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 bam. And those four things were concerning us. He perfects that which concerneth you, and it happened very fast, and it felt really good. I don't mind telling you, it felt awesome. This time, you intervene. God will intervene on your behalf if you can obtain his grace after the surrender. Amen? All right, look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Today, I'm going to show you how to obtain the grace. Amen? And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Say daily. It is a daily thing to obtain the grace of God, and it can only be obtained when you take up the cross. Did you miss the part? Let him deny himself. What does that mean? Well, I got to deny this pleasure and displeasure. Yeah, but it also means deny myself the right to fix the problems of life. You got to recognize itself. No, stop. I rein you in right now. You can't fix this. I've seen you too many times. By the show of hands, every self in here can't fix all the problems, can they? I have to deny myself the right to fix life. But it's denying of self the right. See, self has the right to get out there and try to do life. What if taking up the cross meant I deny myself the right to go ahead and fix everything? Stop, self! Notice that word says daily. Did you hear that? Daily. I take up the cross. What's that mean? I deny myself. I take up the cross so I can gain his sufficiency. Notice what he says in the next verse. Verse 24. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Yeah, the word saved there is sozo. But it's used in the negative kind. Whoever's going to try to sozo his life. His own life. You know what sozo means? How about deliver and protect? Save, deliver, and protect. The three main meanings of sozo. Whoever's going to try and save, deliver, protect, control his own life. You're going to end up losing stuff. Because look at the nature of it. You're trying to do it. But whoever will what? Lose, surrender his life, deny himself. See, it's not just fasting. Deny self, you know. That just makes you miserable all the time. You got to deny everything. It's denying. Why? Because the nature of grace is it won't compete with you. If self is reigning, grace won't compete. Do you see that? What we need is the free, unmerited grace of God that flows from the throne of God. We need the grace because it's easy. When we're in grace, it's easy. Grace, grace, and more grace. I think Joyce Myers had a series on that. It's flows. There's a whole throne of it. It's unmerited. And you are the one that blocks it, not the devil. You are the only one that can block the grace of God. Because by nature, if you're doing it, grace is not active. That's why I've got to deny self. And I got to get in position under the cross. So I got the surrender part, denied self, and now I'm going to obtain the grace. See, that's when you come boldly to the throne of grace. See, that's the process of coming to the throne of grace. You surrender self in recognition. Do it again. I wake up. Sometimes I just put my hand on my heart. I start my day right there. I said, I can't do this today. I can, but I'm not going to get the results. I'm going to get in position. So right now, I just go ahead and surrender. I surrender my life. I surrender my body. I surrender my mind. I surrender my soul. I surrender the work environment. I surrender my ability. So many things are pressing in on me to get fixed. But right now, I recognize I can't do that. I deny myself it's right to go try to fix everything. See, how do I say that, Lord? It's not like you're going to be sitting there praying like that all day long. You can't do that. It's not natural. But there's an exchange that takes place right there. It's not just the prayer of I surrender and going on. You're not going to get anything that way. You're just going to get surrendered. You've got to obtain something while you're getting surrendered. You've got to obtain the grace before you get out there and do your day. If I can obtain the grace and I can get it on me, if I can get clothed in the kingdom of God, if I can get clothed in glory and clothed in favor and clothed in grace, then I'm walking out there with something on me that can handle life. And it's going to do things on my behalf that I can't do, but I got to get that clothing on. So my objective is not just to surrender, but my objective is to stay there and believe, because everything in the kingdom is transferred by faith. You need to write that down. Anything you're ever going to get is done by faith. I got to get clothed by faith. I have to get that armor on. I got to get that hedge up. I got to get that clothing on. But I need to be clothed in grace. I got to come to the throne of grace. See, you're just not going to do that as long as you're in control of your life. You're just not. You're not going to make that exchange. You're going to keep getting the same results. Understand what I'm saying? But if I can cross, I'm talking about the 1-inch line. I'm trying to get your problems fixed. I surrender. But then I'm going to go to the throne of grace. I'm going to attain something by faith. And I sit there until I get clothed. I sit there until I feel the Holy Ghost surrounding me. I sit there till I feel the glory coming over me, till I feel grace flowing in me, till I'm clothed with another kingdom. It doesn't take hours. It just takes that process. It comes with a realization that I really am dependency. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you got to humble yourself as a little child. What is the key with the little children? What is the key? Dependency. The little children are 100% dependent. They are dependent on the parent. 100%. It's coming to the place of dependency. You imagine the little kid waking up, 3 years old. All right, I got to go pay the bills, fix the car, fix life. No, they go to mama and daddy and say, mama, I got a problem. Daddy, you fix it. They don't go trying to fix it. They say, mama, daddy, we got to go to daddy. And we got to say, daddy, I don't know how to do this. That's a problem because we're grown adults that do know how to do certain things, and that doing gets in the way. Because you can do things. But when you realize, like Jesus, I of myself can do nothing. When you can get to that place of brokenness, and then I can make that exchange for grace. But what I realized, I said, God, I'm tired of doing this. I can't. My enemies are coming all around me. I don't know how to fight them. They're just flooding in. Felt like just a gaping hole. Like the enemy's coming in flooding. I just went in there and I obtained that surrender across that line. But then I stayed there. I said, I need to be clothed. I need something greater than myself. I can go try to do this. I probably won't do very good at it. Or I can just surrender it all. I need to be clothed in your spirit. I need grace. I need to be clothed in power, clothed in glory. And Father, I ask you today to grant me, according to the riches of his glory, to be clothed in power, and clothed in riches, and clothed in wisdom, and clothed in strength, and clothed in honor and glory. Clothe me in the blessing of the kingdom. Clothe me in the kingdom. Clothe me, not in me. I'm tired of me going out there, Lord. I'm tired of me trying to build the church. I'm tired of me trying to do life. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm 45 and I'm still not gotten anywhere. I said, I'm tired of me. I'm come to this place of weakness. Help, but not just help me out there. I don't even want to go out there to ask for you to help me. I want to go out there with you in front of me. I want you to go out there, not me. I want to get out of the way. I want to back up and put you in front of me. I don't want to step out, whether I'm in construction or in sales, whether I'm trying to birth a new business or dealing with a laboring boss. I don't want to go out there. I want you. And I sat there until this covering came over me. This umbrella came over me, and I felt him clothe me in glory. And I sat there and said, oh, this feels so good. And then I began to talk to him about the stuff. I said, you know, I got a situation with my neighbor. I ask you to build a wall in the spirit. I had a situation with Anna's back and situation with one of my partners and a situation with the ACs, and all of a sudden just within 2 days he delivered out of them all, fixed it. Say fixed it. And it was such a relief. I was like, how many other areas? I said, how many other areas am I standing in the way, Lord? I said, this is a revelation. And you know what he said to me? He spoke this to me. He said, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Not some of your heart. All of thine heart. You can't do that if you're not under the shadow of the Almighty. Lean not anymore to your own understanding to deal with life. Don't lean there anymore. In all thy ways. Look at that. Acknowledge him. I said, what a beautiful picture of dependency. The whole key was you wanted me to humble myself. True humility wasn't just walking around. I'm humble today. True humility was understanding the dependency that I really need you. I don't want to wake up tomorrow without you and have to face demonic powers and face difficult life and difficult situations on my own. I'm tired of that. It's wearing me out. And I don't have to if I would just take the time in the morning to acknowledge you, God. To acknowledge who I am and acknowledge who you are and get a real clear-cut understanding about that. That I can't do it. And then I can obtain his grace. And the Lord said, what you need is to obtain my grace daily. To obtain my covering daily. He goes, if you'll get that, then you can pray to me. Because you're not asking me to go out there to fix something you're in the middle of. I'm going out in front of you. And you're following along, watching me fix it. And when you go out on the job, all of a sudden you'll be in a construction job and the neighbor will come over there and say, hey, and this is your last job and you're finishing up and the neighbor comes along and says, you know what? I need a whole bathroom wing remodeled over here. Can you do that right now? Could you get started right away? Or if you're in the ministry and the phone hasn't rung and there's been no open doors and all of a sudden doors open and then that opens another door and all of a sudden favor gets on you. I said, man, I am walking in some kind of favor right now that I just walk outside and things start happening because you got him on you. You made the great exchange and the other person right next to you is struggling. You ever try to walk through water? It's very hard to wade through water. It's very hard. It wears you out. You ever got on the escalator at the airport? The sidewalk escalator? Just step on it and... I want the sidewalk escalator of God. I'm going to get on God's sidewalk escalator instead of trying to drag my baggage all day long. Because that's really what we're doing. We're getting up and taking all yesterday's baggage, stuff that's already got on you. You're dragging your baggage like this. Help me, God. Grant me grace to keep dragging my baggage. Grant me grace to get through this day. Grant me grace. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, I'm bearing them for you, Lord. I'm bearing the afflictions for you, Lord. Look at me. Look at my big affliction signs. Look, I'm bearing them for you, Lord. I'm a good soldier for you. And then the other guy... Oh, I dropped my baggage. Many were the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord has delivered me out of them all. There is a 1-inch line, my friend. The sooner you recognize, first surrender, second the obtaining of his grace. You got to go to the throne of grace. How long has it been since you've actually gone there? Well, I don't know if I can ask God for help. Do you think he wants you to do it the rest of your life? You're not getting anywhere. And when he says, come boldly to the throne of grace, he doesn't want you to come and obtain grace and help. Haven't you realized you can't do it? Let me see if we're in the right audience. How many of you have actually come to the realization you can't do it? Okay, now all you got to do now, you're already there. Now all you got to do is start obtaining his grace. Get clothed from the kingdom before you go out in your day. That to be the first thing on your heart. Don't wake up and go do life. Get in there and obtain the grace. Obtain the grace. Amen. Let's all stand. Praise God. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah.